Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next level. I'm JVL here with my best friends, Tim Miller and Sarah Longwell of The Bulwark. Hit subscribe, give us 5 stars, do thumbs up, do all the things. We got a big power-packed show today. I can already tell it's
going to be a
good show and a long show. Lots of important issues, lots of news happening. Mm. Sarah, where do you want to start? The Philadelphia Phillies or Taylor Swift?
Don't make me choose between two things I don't want to talk about.
Oh, we're going to get to Taylor.
All right.
We are going to get to Taylor.
So we have to talk about the speaker's race because we are on week two, I guess, the end of week two of the people's house, the people's body, no, not having a speaker because the Republican Party isn't great at governing. I wonder, though.
I'm sick of that phrase, the people's house.
It's the people's house, Tim.
Having to watch these flowery floor speeches from people that can't pick a team captain talking about the honor of serving the people's house. Just stop. I can't hear it anymore.
I would like to start by asking Sarah, in the vote yesterday, Hakeem Jeffries got 212 votes. Jim Jordan got 200 votes. Why have the Republicans, not for the good of the country, broken off to join with Democrats to make Hakeem? I mean, don't they bear some responsibility in all of this?
Maybe.
I'm kidding. This is just concern trolling.
I know. But can I tell you just real quick? I've had this strategic play. This is what I think they should do. This is the problem with not exactly the moderates, but like the kind of people who sort of want to govern, because I don't think they're exactly moderates. I think I was on the phone with a reporter and they were trying to tell me they were moderates. And I was like, actually, some of them are super conservative.
Yeah.
They're not moderates. They're just people who still think governing like should happen. And here's what I think they should do. They should go to like the chaos caucus and be like, make one of us speaker or we're going to work with the Democrats. Like they don't, like we keep talking about like they have to work with the Democrats.
Well, that would leak to Newsmax in like 1 second.
It's not a credible threat.
Why not?
Because they're not going to work with Democrats. The only unforgivable sin. The reason Kevin McCarthy isn't speaker is because he worked with Democrats. You can be indicted on felony charges. You can do anything you want and still basically be okay.
You and I normally are in opposite roles here. I'm usually accusing you of fantasy politics. But like this, there is a situation where, because this is a negotiation. So you can go to Democrats and say, we're gonna switch to independents. And you're going to make sure no Democrats run against us for our seat. And, you know, we're going to work together. And like, we're only going to do these 5 things. Like, we're going to keep the government open. We're going to pay the debt, you know, whatever. There is just a world where you could be having a conversation, I think, that's much more productive than the one they're going to have. Unless, so I have a bunch of things to say on this, but and I want to give Tim a chance to talk. But like, I don't know what we did good to deserve to get to watch both Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan go down the way they're going down.
Don't forget Steve Scalise going down too. We got to see all three of them.
He has cancer and has been shot. So it's a little less satisfying.
So right now, as we tape, it's like 9-ish a.m. They're supposed to hold this vote at 11. I'm interested to know whether you guys think they'll actually even do it, because it looks like he'll go down again. And then I think what may end up happening, what's starting to be floated, is McHenry.
Yeah.
And I just want to say one thing about McHenry, who is quite conservative and like not somebody I'd normally be like, yeah. But he certified the election and he didn't sign on to the amicus brief. So we've got this like report card that our team has put together.
It's not
this democracy report card. And so like I can go look at all their votes really easily. those are like the two things that I think separate. Like, he is not a hardcore election denier. And I think the low, low, low bar we live by now, like, that would be okay with me.
Okay. Yeah, that's sure. Okay is fine. Yeah, no, please. I think we have more to rant out. I do want to say, since we are taping this before 11, I kind of want to stay out of the prediction business because these guys don't even know what they're going to do, right? Like, totally. Literally, Kay Granger doesn't even know how she's going to vote in 2 hours. So why should I predict how Kay Granger's going to vote in 2 hours? But we do have a pretty hot YouTube page lately. I don't know if you've noticed it, that people should be subscribing to.
Scorching
hot. With more, you know, kind of on-the-minute commentary. So maybe, you know, maybe pop over to there if anything happened after we taped that required, you know, my hot takes. But here's the thing. I don't think they don't have 217 votes for anything. And right. Here's my problem with the McHenry thing. And maybe it'll happen as a very short-term item. And maybe JVL can explain this to me because he's the game theory expert. But I don't understand why there would be, I mean, how many votes are they going to need? 50 for McHenry? 60? Well, like, why would 60 Republicans do something that Steve Bannon, Sean Hannity, Fox, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan can demagogue about, but 5 wouldn't? Like, to me, the McHenry thing seems very challenging to figure out. Now, is it that could they figure it out for 2 weeks? Is there strength in numbers, maybe?
What do you mean by that? When you say do the McHenry thing, do you mean switch and decide to make him speaker or just expand his interim powers?
Expand his interim powers.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe the Democrats and some percentage of the Republicans come to some agreement that's like, we can do the budget and Israel and whatever, something. And, you know, he's limited in that regard. But the problem is that there are going to be some people that could object to then, that he would then be subject to the motion to vacate, right? And then other people could object to the fact that the Speaker pro tem does not have this power. And then you go into all these votes, and are the Democrats going to have to keep bailing them out? Like, the Republicans are going to have to give the Democrats something juicy in order for the Democrats, and maybe just a vote on Ukraine is enough because the Democrats are rightly worried that whoever ends up getting the speakership won't do that. But then if the Republicans give the Democrats something juicy to expand McHenry's powers in the short term, A, why does Patrick McHenry want to do this? He's going to be just annihilated from the MAGA world, and he won't even get a portrait out of it. And B, again, like I'm saying, how do you whip enough Republicans for this? I'm not saying it's not impossible, I'm not predicting it, but my feeling right now is that these guys just don't have 217 votes for anything. And that's why I do not agree with Sarah's fantasy politics. Like, I think for the good of the country, 5 people would work with Democrats. But I'm a little curious why there isn't one Kevin McCarthy-style egomaniac in the Problem Solvers Caucus. Like, doesn't Brian Fitzpatrick or Don Bacon look in the mirror and say, I could get a portrait. I'd be gone next year, but I could get a portrait right now. Like, if I just pulled over 4 people and got all the Democrats, the fact that there hasn't been anybody with that kind of ambition is a little bit, not so surprising, but a little bit surprising. But to me, that seems like a smaller lift than the short-term McHenry thing.
Okay, let's just pretend that Don Bacon did that, right? Went and became speaker. I mean, obviously, he would be primaried and would lose his reelection.
Yeah. He'd get a portrait out of it.
He would get a portrait. He would then get a bunch of lobbying dollars, maybe.
Boards.
But maybe not. Because once he's out of office, I mean, he then is viewed as the the modern day Benedict Arnold.
No, the woke corporate would put him on boards. Yeah. JP Morgan Chase and all these.
Do you know
guys?
How desperate people are for like a good Republican, any bipartisan thing? I think you live a great life. You make one move. So I mean, I agree with Tim. I just want them to do something. Like, I guess
Ken Buck's kind of doing this actually.
Well, but Ken Buck. But here's the thing: what's Ken Buck's next move?
TV. He wants a CNN
contract. Yeah, he's the CNN contract. Yeah. But like, good, go live that life. Great. Like, you can't find 5 people that like want to have that life. And also, and this is the thing that always makes me crazy when people are doing like real politic. They're like, well, they're all going to get primaried. And I'm like, or just hear me out. You can do the right thing and then go off into the sunset, be rich, and a whole bunch of people will bow to you forever saying you're somebody who tried to save democracy and acted like a grown-up at a tough time.
You get invited to these fancy Georgetown cocktail parties I keep hearing so much about. I mean, there's a lot of upside. Did you see, our boy Ken Buck, did you see his interview with Dana Bash yesterday? It's like my favorite interview that a politician has given in a long time. So he voted for Tom Emmer. who's like some random lead, you know, at the bottom of the leadership chain for speaker. And Dana says to him, she's like, "So why'd you vote for Tom Emmer?" And he like doesn't give an answer. And she's like, "Do you even like Tom Emmer?" And he goes, "No." And she goes, "Really?" He goes, "It's kind of why I voted for him. It's a terrible job." She's like, "So you voted for somebody for speaker that you actually don't, that you actively dislike." There's something about that kind of spirit of spite and principle in Ken Buck that I appreciate. But like, these guys don't have a plan. Is the other part of the fantasy politics thing is like, at least the crazy eight. You know, remember back in the initial January vote, the first they were trying to get Jordan. And then Jordan endorsed McCarthy. And then they did the Byron Donalds gambit, which was pretty fake and, like, pretty obviously tokenizing Byron Donalds because he was black and, like, Hakeem Jeffries is black. And, like, that was pretty transparent. But, like, at least they had a figure that they were putting forth. Like, these guys haven't even done that. Right? Like, the people pushing back on Jordan, they're not offering an alternative. That's why we're falling back on this McHenry temporary speaker pro tem stuff, because they don't have any. Because here's the fundamental thing here. No one can get 217. Nobody can get 217.
But the point is like, if that's the case, then why can't you start? Like, at some point, there has to be, something is going to happen. There's going to be a path forward or orthogonal, whatever. Like, something's going to happen. So, like, this is the point where I do start to play a little fantasy politics, because the reality is there's no, like, obvious other thing that happens. If they just can't get to 217, so then what? Then what?
I think McHenry. I think the McHenry thing is the obvious thing, because nobody has to take credit for that, right? It's like, well, he's there already. Like, we moved into this house, and there was this bookcase there, and we just decided to put the gavel
on
the bookcase.
Very small bookcase.
Right? We're going to put the gavel on the bookcase, and we're not doing anything affirmatively. We're just, you know, just trying to, you know, whatever, and we can have this fight later. I mean, the deeper problem behind all this is that, of course, the Republican caucus is also riven on the actual, you know, we said there are five things they have to do. The Republican caucus does not agree with itself on what to be done about those things. They don't agree about what to do on Ukraine. They don't agree about the government shutdown. And so,
but eventually, what you're saying requires Democrats, though, again. Like, yeah. At the end, eventually you have to get to Democrats. And the question is, how many Republicans actually care about this stuff? Because there's a huge, the advantage that Jordan has throughout this entire process is there's maybe not a majority of the conference, but like a substantial, like, if once you count the Freedom Caucus plus the 20 that opposed McCarthy plus the 8, there's some overlap and all that. Like, you're getting to 40 or 50 people that literally don't care if the House does nothing, right? Like, right. There are at least, you know, a few dozen Republicans that do not care, and they will go to the mat, and they will not vote for a McHenry temporary solution, and they will not vote for a McHenry permanent speaker, and they will not vote for Steve Scalise, like, because they don't give a fuck. They don't, we're not going to fund Israel and Ukraine, and we're not going to fund, and we're not going to fund the deep state. Oh, well. So Jordan, I always thought that Jordan might be able to get this, and you know, I think maybe the interpersonal issues are maybe an understatement, is maybe the reason why not. Is that, like, he could at least horse trade on that stuff, right? Where maybe these guys would go along with him because he could horse trade, because he's Jim Jordan. He has the credibility from, you know, his time attempting a coup and, right, trying to get Hunter Biden arrested and impeaching, right? Like, he has, for all the crazy shit he did, he has these chits. But, like, those guys don't care. So eventually you get to a point where it's, we do nothing and the government shuts down, or you need Democrats.
Right. You need Democrats. So that's, to me, that is, like, sort of where you wind up in your analysis. And, like,
right,
so there,
but when the government shuts down, though, not like today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And who needs Democrats? That's the other thing, right? So who gets blamed if you do the McHenry thing? There's nobody to really blame for working with the Democrats. It's just like the Republican caucus is an amorphous thing, decided to work with Democrats.
Whoever voted for it. Because while all that is happening, Jordan and the conservative media complex is going, no, we cannot do this. We cannot fold to the Dems. I was in an Uber yesterday when the guy was listening to Sean Hannity.
Ooh, how lucky for you.
There are pluses and minuses about moving to Louisiana. A lot of pluses. And by the way, this is not inviting your opinion on my move. A lot of strangers have liked to give me their opinion on my move. It's been a wonderful move. But one of the downsides on the chit is that the Uber driver has Sean Hannity on. But it allows me to provide this content to you. Sean Hannity was, like, going hard on the McHenry thing. Like, this is what the Dems want. You are giving in to them. Everyone needs to get in line. Da 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 da. So, you know, so there would be repercussions politically for Republicans that did it.
But this is where there's safety in numbers. I mean, this is why if you did it, right? So if you got 50 people that don't care, you know, this is, we were talking about this last time, like, I think you've got 50 people who do care about funding Ukraine, funding Israel. And like, part of the way, like, I just think that everybody asks for not that much. Like, they ask for things that are sort of broadly popular, like keeping the government open, funding Ukraine and Israel. And like, they can horse trade a little bit because I, you know, they're not all the Dems are going to want to fund Israel. And so like, you can find in this moment, why couldn't you find that? And the punishment, because you're right, there are repercussions, but like, when there are 10 of you or 5 of you, they can single you out. When there's 80 of you, it's much harder.
But McHenry, why does he want this to do this? Isn't McHenry lighting himself on fire in the same way that Don Bacon would? I just don't understand what's different about it.
I don't know, because if you're him, the future is uncertain, and in chaos there's opportunity. And if you're the guy sitting in the chair, possession is 9/10 of the law, and who knows what happens 12 months from now?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe he winds up as like the accidental speaker and amasses some power. I mean, you know, or maybe he gets tossed out on his ear. I don't know.
No one knows your name, and now everybody does. I mean, there's some of that.
The Dems ought to ask for DC statehood.
Pretty amazing.
That ought to be the price.
It's pretty amazing. A couple of Dems are listening to this. I agree with this. Don't go in, you know, art of the deal, this fucking thing, okay? Go in big.
We're happy to help you guys out, yeah, DC statehood fuckers.
We're happy to help you guys out. And we'll start negotiating. And like, our opening bid is DC and Puerto Rico. Okay. And then we'll start moving from there. All right. I agree. Like, why there is going to be pressure on Tims to bail these people out, because like, you know, the responsible median pundit, you know what I mean? Bob Costa and the CNN pundit table, you know, will be like, Democrats need to be the adults here. And we just lived through all this, but it's like, do they, why?
They're always the adults. They are the adults.
They can't choose a team captain. Like, they're a children's soccer team that is forfeiting because they cannot choose a captain.
Like, yeah, but this is like, forget, like, the idea that Democrats should just do it like for the good of the order. I think that's like kind of BS to ask them. And I'm sympathetic to some of that stuff, like, because I want things to be done for the good of the order.
I love that about you.
However, like, actually, the way to be an adult here is to go in and be like, guys, we'll bail you out. Here's what we want for it. And just to start going hard, like, and you know what? They should do it publicly. They should start publicly putting things on the table and say, like, the Democrats would be happy to work in a bipartisan way. We would love to do these things. And here's what we're asking for not that much. You guys got to fund the government and keep it open. You got to support our Democratic allies. And you got to give us one or two other things that we want. Like, do it.
I think you need a little more. Yeah. Because Ukraine is good. I mean, Ukraine is the thing that you really want in the end, I guess. Because that's the thing that's on the chopping block, you know?
Right. Like, the idea that it's the Democrats that would have to negotiate to get us to support our Democratic allies who've been invaded by one of our biggest geopolitical foes is insane. Which is why I agree they should ask for some other stuff that's just for them. That is not the world we grew up in.
Yeah.
They should ask for some other stuff that's just for them. Like, I don't know, bring back the child tax credit or, you know, paid leave.
Before we go on to Nancy Mace, very quickly, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, staying up to date on all the craziness that is today's American political system can take its toll on your mental health. I know it's chipped away at mine. And when your mental health suffers and you feel like your brain is getting in the way of the life you want to live, therapy can be a great way to work through your issues and can empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you might want to give therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great way to start. It's completely online and was created to be convenient and flexible to your schedule. Just answer a brief questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/thenextlevel today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thenextlevel.
Therapy is so great. Can I just say this? You know, a lot of men out there, I can just speak for experience. I'm sure that women also, you know, sometimes question the value of therapy, or maybe they don't, I don't know. But a lot of men out there are stubborn about this. I was like, I shouldn't do this. I don't need this. I'm tough. I've got a strong brain. No, you have a weak brain out there, men, middle-aged men. Go get a little help. Spend an hour away from your kids and talk about your problems. I do recommend it. It's great.
That's
it's
one great. Option. The other option is to take everything that bothers you and that you struggle with and just push it down over and over, hour after hour, day after day, year after year. That is another option.
Don't do
that. Some people choose that works fine for them.
Yeah, you know what I do for my mental health? Well, this is mean, actually. Yep. I was going to say skip the triad because, I didn't need therapy until JVL started just telling me the darkness. I used to have like a good positive outlook, and now I just think everything's terrible. And he put me in therapy. And you know what? I'm getting you back for you two on the secret pod. You said that I wasn't your best friend anymore.
I didn't say that,
you
really.
You did.
I.
You said you were in the market for a new best friend, and you gave it to Tim.
I said a lot of things.
I have a lot of best friends is the problem. I'm pretty popular.
You're the worst.
I'm not like in the market for an additional one.
All right, talk to me about Nancy Mace. Sarah and I had a nice long conversation about Nancy Mace in the secret show. What were your thoughts, Timothy?
Jake, I'm gonna butcher his last name, so I'm sorry, Jake. Jake LaHut over at the Daily Beast caught a little tip that really just like the shingles fell from my eyes when I heard this tip. And it was like, because I was like, what is Nancy Mace doing? Like this woman, it was a, it was like kind of positioned herself as a moderate and like a truth teller. And she like picked the most random reasons to go against Kevin McCarthy. It's like, he's not nice enough to women, so I'm going to endorse Jim Jordan. Like he doesn't care enough about sexual assault, so I'm going to endorse Jim Jordan, who covered up sexual assault. Like I'm going to wear this A shirt that is rather revealing. And like, I'm like, what is this person doing? And she had a mental break. And then Jake's tip came to me. She thinks she can be Trump's VP. And here's the thing. Everybody said that this was crazy. Trump endorsed her opponent. She opposed him and spoke out against him. He wants somebody that's loyal, doesn't want another Mike Pence. All that stuff makes sense. But she looks the part. Donald Trump likes to cast. And I, you know, I was watching Lee Stefanik give her nomination speech for Jim Jordan, and I just don't know if that's the person he's going to cast. That's just me projecting onto Donald Trump. That says nothing about Lee Stefanik, who I think is very ugly on the inside, and I'm not commenting at all about her outside looks. But she just, the VP, does she have the VP look? Kristi Noem was out there. People were mentioning her. Okay, but, you know, the Corey Lewandowski thing, it's a pretty big mark against. I mean, Donald Trump has to like really disrespect Corey Lewandowski, and he's got to think that anybody that had an affair with Corey Lewandowski, just getting inside Trump brain, like this is how he thinks. The list is kind of short of women. I guess you could go to other men, and MTG and Carrie Lake. It's just maybe, but like, does he worry they overshadow him? Are they a little too crazy? I mean, he did make a real politique decision, and Mike Pence, you know, someone that brought a little bit of balance. I don't know. All of a sudden, I started thinking it, and I was like, I don't think it's crazy that Nancy Mace thinks she might be his VP pick, actually. I'm not predicting it's going to be her, but I think that that's a rational. It took her actions over the last few months from totally irrational and random. Like, why is her and Matt Gaetz like on the Bannon podcast, like what is happening? It went from totally irrational to like, I don't know that you're going to get it, but this I think makes sense. I think it's a rational calculation that
maybe
she could even be
the next Mrs. Trump.
One of the other things we know Trump likes is to make people bend the knee, right? He actually, it's an asset to him somebody has criticized him in the past. It is not a liability because what he likes to demonstrate is, oh, did you hate me? Did you say those things? And now you love me?
Careful.
That is, he needs a stand at what? What are you doing with your face?
There are a lot of metaphors.
I'm sorry. I don't know about bending the knee.
Back off of that particular metaphor, this moment.
I hate you guys. It is like, I can't even just like talk like a normal human without being like being with like 10-year-olds.
I'm sorry.
It's Tim's fault.
You weren't even on the secret podcast. You should have seen JVL's eyebrows when we talked about Nancy Mace. He's doing this face
you
right now.
Saying,
that's very innocent.
People exactly get mad when I interrupt you. We interrupted you. You're pointing out that Trump likes it when people.
Yeah, I was just saying that I don't think it's at all disqualifying that at one point she hated him. I think what he wants to demonstrate to other people is that, oh no, people who hated me now like me. You may hate me, but you too could like me if you just got to know me. Look at Nancy Mace will be here to validate that.
Yeah. I think that if we were to take this idea seriously for 5 seconds, I think he would ultimately decide that she is too much of a lightweight. She looks the part, but she...
It's so weird trying to get inside Trump's head. Like the ultimate Trump's like, oh, now she's a lightweight now.
No, right. You know, I mean, I really think he would think like, no, actually my VP should carry herself like Nikki Haley, but would have to be loyal. Like, you know, this is like the Carrie Lake would have been perfect had she won her Senate seat. Right. Or the governor's race. I think it was the governor's race.
That's a shame.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm taking it seriously. I'm monitoring it. That's all I'm saying. Good. I'm just putting it on the radar. Literally.
You take it seriously.
I think
Tim's point is well taken, that not that Trump would choose her, but that it is that somebody put it in her ear and the idea in her mind, and that now explains her behavior. And that makes sense to me.
I hate having to say this on the TDS podcast because everybody knows that we think this, but just to be explicit about it, while it's a rational calculation if you want to be Trump's VP, it is fundamentally irrational to want to be Trump's VP given that the last person he tried to have hanged.
Right.
So, yeah. Well,
that's a little, know. I mean, it's a this little, time it'll be it's different. A little odd. This time it'll be different.
The leopards will not want to eat her face at any point. It'll be okay. Joe Biden is in Israel right now as we are taping. I tweeted, there's a Marist poll this week, the end of the week. Did you see this, Sarah? Probably not. I wrote about it, so you wouldn't have seen it. Showing that 2/3 of the country, 65-66% of Americans, think it's very important for America to be publicly supporting Israel in this moment. And a majority of the country thinks that Joe Biden is doing a very bad job handling Israel. Now, in Israel, there are billboards all over the country saying things like, thank you, President Biden. The Israelis are, you know, we have testimony in the Sunday show with your buddy whose name is escaping me.
Blake Flayton.
Who is over there right now, who's talking about, you know, watching the Biden speech with his friends and how moved they were by it. But Americans are not, you know, the American voters look at this Biden stuff and they're very, I don't know, could do better. I can't wait till you focus group this, Sarah, because I can't wait to hear what the swing voters are saying about Biden on Israel.
Have you already? Do you have anything for us on that?
We did ask a group the other day, and you are not going to love this. It was swing voters, but only one person had heard Biden's speech, and zero people had heard about Trump's comments around Hezbollah. So Trump called Hezbollah smart. Nobody knew that. Nobody had heard anything about that. And then, only one person had heard anything about Biden's speech.
And Biden gave the most historic speech concerning the U.S.-Israeli relationship by any American president possibly ever. And nobody, okay. Do they have thoughts about Biden's handling of the situation?
I would say the biggest problem is that part of what's happened because of the discussion around Ukraine, people have like the real America first. They've like internalized a lot of that. So actually what you get are a bunch of comments about like, we don't want to get into any war and like we need to take care of things here before we do anything else. So I would say that tends to be where people are on it.
Awesome.
That's frustrating. It's a little frustrating.
Awesome.
He is doing a really good job. He's doing everything that you'd want him to do, going over there. His speech was fantastic. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And the polling is on Biden is bad, but it's pretty encouraging actually on the conflict in general. Like there's not, you know, if you look at, I forget what it was, but this isn't really an apples to apples comparison, but just as a baseline, you know, if you look at who it was, this Quinnipiac, you know, the Republican Party is like straight split on Ukraine. Like it's a good half of the Republican Party, a straight half. It's like we should just kind of let Russia take them over, basically. And that is not true in the Democratic side on the Israel conflict. Like there is a divide on the Democratic side, but it's much more like 60-15. Like, you know, there's a loud vocal minority that, you know, wants whatever it would be, de-escalation at this point, while there's still hundreds of hostages out there. So that part is encouraging. Biden has been good, but translating it, I guess not. I don't know. I guess it's not on TikTok. I do think the media has done a pretty horrific job of covering Trump on this stuff. Like Trump's comment. It's not as if they weren't covered. People did cover his comments. But like if Joe Biden had said that, you know, it would have been mass hysteria on every network. And that isn't the case for Trump anymore. And that's frustrating.
Can I point out that one of the criticisms we hear all the time of Biden is that he is just being led by the nose of the radical left? And here again, the radical left, to the extent that exists in America, is quite separate from the main body of the Democratic Party. And Joe Biden has publicly rebuked them and is doing, like, he's no credit from anybody for doing, and I don't understand it. I don't get credit
from Jews.
Yeah, like, I think that's right.
I hope so.
And Israelis. I mean, I think this is where the fractured media environment, like if you are on the right, center right, the only thing you're hearing about, I mean, is what Squad. Any lunatic on a college campus is saying. And you're not hearing a lot about Biden's. It's like in a different world, in a world of 20 years ago, like even on Fox News, there would be a bunch of commenters being like, this is good. Like Joe Biden is saying the right thing. But today, they just ignore what Biden says and they just talk about, like, they find whatever the crazy people are saying. Yeah.
So long as there's somebody on a college campus or TikTok or Twitter somewhere.
I don't think it's just college campuses. I don't want to, like, I think there's...
The point is, I'm not saying that there isn't. Like, this is a substantial thing. But this is a case where Biden is trying to get the Democratic Party right on this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my not my party this week. It's like... whatever your opinions are about all this stuff, it's just like, if you are of the view that where the Squad is on this is extreme, like that's still the Squad and it's still college campuses. And over in the Republican Party, like they're looking at, 200 members of the House wanted Jim Jordan to be the speaker. And Donald Trump is winning overwhelmingly in the primary, right? So it's not to say that there aren't like some crazy people, in every party. It's just like in one party, it's the people who are in charge that are the fucking crazy ones. And that's notable. The other thing is, like, my friend Tom Nichols might get mad at me, but I've just got a little comment about this I want to bring up. Like the expertise side of this stuff where, you know, there's folks that get upset. Like I'm like Sarah, I'm not doing TV on this. Like I know my limitations on all this stuff. I'm trying to book interviews with people who know more about me where I ask and learn more about them. But I have to have a little bit of skepticism about the experts on this, because if you look at the Trump at foreign policy, the one thing that all the experts said were good were the Abraham Accords. And I didn't really have strong views on them. Like, I think I literally wrote in my book one line that was like, maybe they were good. I don't know. Like they seemed fine to me, but I don't know. I'm not an expert. This is where all the experts are. But the more I listen to smart people on these podcasts and read smart stuff about this, like, it seems like I'm not blaming the Trump administration or the folks that were for this, but like the unintended consequences of that, like led to this kind of, right? Like there are concerns from Hamas in Iran that the Arab world's, you know, whatever you want to call it, normalization with Israel was like changing the balance of power. Right. And that had to be shaken up. Now, there are a million core reasons for why this stuff happens. But I just what you're not seeing out there, like on the left, there are all these recriminations about like, oh, should we have done this? Should we have done that? Did Israel do this? Like that does not happen with the Trump world. Like I look at this thing and I was like, if we're just running a demagogic anti-Trump podcast, like we could do like the Abraham Accords kind of caused this. And oh, by the way, if you're a big fan of building walls, I don't know. The Israeli border with Gaza is pretty small and had a pretty thick wall with pretty good security, and that they'd spent a lot of money on it and done everything, and like didn't seem to work, right? So our Mexico border thing. So like there would be ways to demagogue where the Trump folks are on all this stuff, but like there's no seriousness. Like there's no reflection on that. And like they get this, goes back to the asymmetry, they get this where like center left experts like gave Trump credit on this. And like that never happens the other way. Like that never happens.
Never.
There's no MAGA world people that never are like, Joe Biden's doing good right now. You know, and like center left people gave Trump credit on this thing that like actually might not have ended up being that good.
Fundamentally,
not have worked out. Unintended consequences, good intentions, and all that. But like, here we
look. All everybody in the center left and the left and Democrats gave Operation Warp Speed. one of the few good things that came from the Trump administration. Lots of credit, right? It says there is no version of that. There is no, like, you know, serious Republican person who goes, actually, the Inflation Reduction Act has turned out to be pretty good policy. Actually, the infrastructure bill has turned out to be very helpful. There doesn't exist.
I mean, anti-Trump people, like J-Pod wrote a good thing about Biden's speech in commentary, right? But like he's anti-Trump. But like nobody from the actual MAGA world.
From Trump world.
So one of the things, when Trump did that speech, the insane speech where he called Hezbollah smart and like kind of ranted about Netanyahu, which I got no love for Netanyahu, but I did think like it was like Trump was like weirdly blaming him for like the elect, like I was just like, what are you even talking about? It did seem like he got some angry phone calls because he definitely started to walk that back. Instead of doubling down, he kind of recommitted to the pro-Israel thing. Do you think this, any of the Hezbollah smart, any of that stuff hurts Trump at all?
No. I do think he got angry pushback. He's got some big donors who are and big supporters and all that. And I do think he got angry pushback and he sent out a bleat that was like, I love BB hashtag, you know, and he has all the subtlety of like a sledgehammer. And I do think he gets private pushback. And like, I think he responds. Like people, you know, Maggie, this is all Maggie's reporting. Always like, it's like, he'll do whatever the last phone call he got. Like, you know, he'll send something out if one of his Tom Barrett calls him and tells him he should have done this instead. Right. So, but not publicly and not with voters.
Meanwhile,
just really quick before we get to that transition, I just want to read the recent Nancy Mace tweet that Sebastian sent.
Sure.
Hearing the establishment is desperately trying to tank Jim Jordan. I'm so tired of the establishment dictating what goes on in this town. It's time the people have a voice. It's time the people have representation that isn't dictated by a few power-hungry players.
It's a pot calling the kettle black right there.
Sounds like a MAGA VP tweet to me, just saying. Anyway.
Wouldn't the Nancy Mace thing all just be more explicable if it turned out that, like, oh, she really has developed a taste for edibles, right? Then you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, now it all makes sense.
I don't think you've done much with edibles, JVL. I think you're a lack of...
I don't know. I don't know how that stuff affects people.
You just
people.
Stop tweeting and go to sleep, dude.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Okay. Meanwhile, we have a DeSantis-Haley war, which has broken out. This is amazing to me. DeSantis's super PAC put out an attack ad on Nikki Haley. Here is the line of Haley's that they take and they, you know, they put through the dark filter with, can you believe what Nikki Haley is saying? Nikki Haley says, America's always been sympathetic to the fact that you can separate civilians from terrorists. That is the line which the DeSantis campaign is using.
Is there more?
No, that's it. That's what she says.
Could you reread it one more time?
One more time. So you have Ron DeSantis. The ad is Ron DeSantis talking about how, you know, he is never going to let refugees from Gaza into the United States. Never. And then they give Nikki Haley, and Nikki Haley says, America's always been sympathetic to the fact that you can separate civilians from terrorists. And then Ron DeSantis comes back on and says, yeah, that's right. She's just trying to kiss up to the liberal media and be political correct. And I don't care about that. I'll tell you, the total number of refugees from Gaza you're going to see in America is zero. And, you know, if I were to say Republican voters think that you can't separate civilians from terrorists and they really just want to see all the brown people killed, you would say, oh, JVL, there you are being, you know, calling these people racist, et cetera, et cetera. I would submit to you, nobody has a lower opinion of Republican voters than Ron DeSantis, because he thinks that this is what they want to hear. It's wild. It's one of the wildest ads I've ever seen.
I think that the main takeaway from that is that Ron DeSantis is now fighting for second place with Nikki Haley, and that he knows it. And I don't know if you've seen, the donors are starting to demand consolidation, right? Because people are panicked that nobody's getting anywhere near Trump. And so the one thing they have some control over, right, is that they can start pulling the plug on other campaigns. And so you got Tim Scott's PAC coming out and saying they're going to, you know, they're going to kind of fold it up, which does that mean Tim Scott's going to drop out? The fact that his PAC is going to stop spending money? Like, I assume that's what it means. So like now they're in a fight over like who needs to drop out, because who's going to be the other, who's going to be the one alternative to Trump as the consolidation happens. So my guess is, as you start seeing Scott and Pence, the donors start saying like, get out, and maybe even Christie. And so Nikki Haley and DeSantis are now in this fight for second place. And sorry, so, and DeSantis is making the argument that if Nikki drops out, her votes come to him. If DeSantis drops out, his votes go to Trump. And that's why he needs to be the alternative. And that's interesting, and probably a little bit true. But I do think that the donors have taken like a real second look. Like Nikki's arguing she's the only one with momentum, forward momentum. Also probably true.
Well, there is a problem with, I mean, I guess, let's just say it's true. Let's just say it's true. I'm not sure it's true. Let's just say it is. Okay, so 13 plus 7.7, that gets you to 20 point, like, okay, so consolidation is not the problem. All right, like this was a conversation for 2022 and early 2023, when all of us rightly were saying these so many people shouldn't get in this race.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? But like, and Sarah, you even more so than me on that front. You know, I thought this was important, but like we're here where we are now. Like Trump is above 50. Like the problem is get eating out of Trump. And so like fighting amongst themselves, and it's just 2016 redux. And I just, like, on the substance of all this, again, it's like DeSantis doing the same shit he did when he started this thing. I will say, the DeSantis's plane flight from Israel thing this week, yeah. Like to me, like that was the kind of thing that DeSantis needed to be doing early, to be like, look, Trump is obsessed with himself. He's bleeding. Like I'm a problem solver. I'm going to own the libs. Joe Biden's too old. Like regardless of whether the merits of all this are true, I'm just speaking from a political standpoint, like Joe Biden's too old to save the Americans over there. I'm going to send Air DeSantis in and bring people out. Like Trump's bleeding about himself, right? Like here, like this, that was a good contrast for him.
He could have put some Mexican refugees on the plane over
back,
and then yeah, dropped them in Israel, and then brought real Florida Patriots back. That would have been a twofer.
That would have been a twofer, and that would have been good. So like that's a real contrast. This stuff, like trying to sound like Trump on the Muslim ban and getting to Nikki and attacking Nikki from this, it's just like, here's what he said. The Biden campaign put this out. He said this on Fox about Nikki. When it comes to bringing in refugees from Gaza, you're bringing in the culture that they're coming from. Just like, really? I mean, these kids, poor little babies that are like, need a place to live. Like with the culture you're bringing in, what are you talking about? Like, you think that they're going to be terrorists? Like, this is an argument, by the way, for Georgia building a wall on its southern border to prevent panhandle of Florida from bringing its culture to Atlanta. Like these fucking people, like it is old school Charles Lindbergh nativist, horrific nonsense. And he's advancing it because he thinks it's going to help him get to Trump's right. You can't get to Trump's right on this stuff. You can't get to Trump's right. Trump was the guy that said no Muslims allowed.
Also, sometimes I just want to be like, do you guys know we live in America? Like,
Thank you. Yes,
people bring their cultures with them. That's why we've got every kind of food that's here. That's why we've got, like, we let a bunch of religions worship. Like, this is what we do here. It's called pluralism. And it's on our money. It's on our money, out of many one, that people bring their cultures here. I don't know. Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, meatball. What do we say? That's probably
DeSantis.
Italian. Like,
see how you assimilated? You even changed how you pronounce your name. That's the same thing will happen with the Gaza refugees.
I don't like to swear too much on these podcasts, but F that guy.
F that guy. My street has Vietnamese, Japanese, pizza. It's a wonderful street.
I would just like to put a little context in here right now. So we are talking about how Nikki Haley is surging, right? This is the general view is that Nikki Haley is surging.
I didn't say surging. No, I said you. She has momentum.
Okay. So
I had
she
to deal
momentum.
With this on the circus last week. Like
she has
every
momentum.
Like you know because you need that media needs to have something to do, and so I love the circus guys, but they kept being like, okay, and you can really feel, and I was like, can't you feel it? I was like, in every clip, I'm like, are we sure? Is there something happening?
So Nikki is at 7.7 points, okay, which is great, good for her. Since April 6th, Trump is up 8 points. So Donald Trump has added more to his total since April than Nikki's entire number. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it isn't just like, well, oh, she's sort of, do you know who's really surging? Actually, when you look at the race, you look at just look at the lines going up. Donald Trump is surging. Donald Trump is near his high water mark right now for the entire campaign. He's at 58%. He's closing in on 60. He's closing in on 60. It's almost November. Right. You know, we're what, 14 weeks away from Iowa?
I'm sure a DeSantis-Haley slap fight will resolve that. That'll change things up, change up the dynamic.
The person who is actually surging and who has the momentum is Trump. He is much stronger than he was even as recently as July. He's up 8 points from July or 6 points from July.
You know, I think that one of the things that is clear, DeSantis, like, I'm not sure that his campaign, that this like this stunt, I hear you, Tim, that like he should have been doing this stuff all along. Like they never figured out how to run against Trump, even though they had all this time. I think they just thought people were going to want to move on. They were just going to fall into DeSantis's lap. But Trump is running an extremely good and extremely smart campaign. And Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita are real pros who I have like real doubts about their insides, like the moral parts of their insides, that they could work with Donald Trump. But actually, just since the theme of this show, I think, is how if you put something in context, suddenly sometimes people's actions make sense. Susie Wiles must hate Ron DeSantis so much. She worked for Ron DeSantis, and they kind of dropped her like a bad habit at one point. Then they kind of tried to end her, like they were mad at her, kind of tried to, you know, shit on her. And now she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not just going to beat you. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to end your political career. And they are out there with Trump. Like, if you look back now, like when DeSantis came to D.C. to try to get some congressional endorsements, and that day while he was up here, they released all of the Florida delegates supporting Trump.
Yeah.
And the way that they are behind the scenes, making sure that the rules – just the regular rules in the state, like it's making it really hard for somebody else to come after him. Like they are 10 steps ahead of DeSantis and of the donors. And like, they're just real pros.
The donors aren't even in the game. Actually.
Yeah, they're not. It's like, they're just playing a bunch of fantasy
stuff. Forget being 10 steps ahead. You know, like the donors are on the sidelines playing shuffleboard.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we could move Mike Pence out and his 2.1 points then go to the alternative and I don't know. And all these people are going to support
Chris Christie
Trump.
Is mad at me, apparently. Why is he mad? For saying this. I did an interview with a local New Jersey paper where I brought up the fact that Chris Christie is out there saying that he's helping, that he's here to stop Trump, but he's actually helping Trump, and he's helping Trump in his ego, and he needs to get out if he wanted to actually help Trump because he's no chance of winning. And I gave this interview to the New Jersey paper. You can see it. You can go there if you want. And the guy's like, Christie yelled at me. And he's like, that Tim Miller doesn't know it. He's an idiot. He's a moron. He's pointing his stubby little finger at him. I was like, sorry, bruh. Like these guys, like don't like that. None of them are doing anything. None of them are actually doing anything except making themselves feel good.
I think you're overly hard on Christie because I think he's been like about as I think he's been the best of the whole bunch in terms of, sure, you know, saying true things about Trump here. That being said, Christie's whole, I think, pitch really was like, he's going to get on stage with Trump, right? And he's going to cut him down. He's not getting on stage with Trump. Like, that's just clear. And so I do think these guys got to start getting out.
He'd be better served to stand outside Mar-a-Lago and shout at him.
Yeah.
You pussy, get out here. If you're a real man, you'd get out here with a bullhorn. That'd be his best. That's his best play at this point. I'll apologize to everything if Chris Christie gets out there and does that.
Okay. Taylor Swift, Tim, you want to have this fight? I'll fight anybody.
It's not really a fight. It's not really a fight. It's just, it's fine. If people like Taylor Swift, that's fine. I'm totally with you on the entrepreneurial spirit. I'm just saying, men are bad. I get that. Straight men are horrible. Like, total allyship on this, straight men being horrible. But, like, if you've had 18 boyfriends and they're all famous, and at the end of every relationship you write a song about how they're terrible, maybe the problem wasn't the 18 boyfriends. Maybe you picked 18 really terrible people. That's all I'm saying. I'm a little bit confused about the girl power element of this. I get the girl power element of the entrepreneurship and saying F you to what's his name that tried to steal her masters, and like the fact that she's getting rich, and I love that, and the pro economy stuff, and that's all great. But like, I don't know. I was watching an interview with Donna Kelsey. Savannah Guthrie was doing this interview, and Savannah was like, must be nice to have gotten to hang out with Taylor. And Donna goes, and I was like, Donna gets it.
I mean, she's fine. It's all
she's
kayfabe.
Probably fine. She's probably fine, but like, I don't know. That's all I'm saying. Everybody can do what they want. I'm happy. If you want to life's short. If you want to use your one life making out with every celebrity in the world and writing a song about how they're terrible, that's a way to live a life. That's a choice. But I'm a little bit confused about the girl power side of it.
Why do you think it's all real? I just assume it's all kayfabe, and it's like a giant work for her, which is, again, awesome. I'm there for it. I love pro wrestling. I watch pro wrestling. I'm happy to be there for, a work or a shoot.
I just
want
her to be happy. I just want her to be satisfied.
I gotta tell you, Tim.
I want her to be happy.
I don't care about any of this, but it does sound to me like there's a little bit of shaming on your part for Taylor. Like, let her have she's a big celebrity. There's every dude who has ever, had a decent, a charting song, dates a gajillion women. So she's a serial monogamist. God bless her.
Leo DiCaprio.
I do not care about Taylor Swift. I do not care about any of this. I can't believe that you guys invest in the psychology of these people. Like, she has some good music.
She's got some good music, and she's the ultimate girl boss. What's not to love? This is like your sweet spot.
I'm not shaming her. I think it'd be fine. I don't know. There's the whole vibe. I'm not vibing on. The music is just okay for me. And the story of like every album is like why my last boyfriend is terrible. Okay. I guess.
I don't know.
That's fine. Maybe it's kayfabe. I don't know. I just want her to be happy. That's all. I just think that like a real happy girl boss story would be I overthrew the patriarchy. I got my masters back. I did Taylor's version. And I'm very happy and satisfied.
When you found out that Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik were actually buddies in real life, did it make you not want to watch wrestling anymore? Because that didn't bother me.
Yeah, well, hold on. You're making the wrong comparison. So Tim loves Beyonce.
I do.
And from what I'm aware of, that Lemonade album that she dropped was all about getting cheated on and then like forgiving Jay-Z.
I don't find that to be
an empowering story.
Well, life is hard and long, and like, she's got a partner and then she's got a kid, Blue Ivy, that comes out on stage and she seems to have a good life. And I mean, Beyonce, it's nice. I mean, it's tough. These people are all living different lives than all the rest of us, So like she's got a lot of
speak for
help,
yourself.
I guess.
My life is a lot like Jay-Z's.
And Beyonce's. But I hear that. It's not a judgment thing. It's just like, and that's fine if you find that icky. I don't know.
You seem to be taking like that Beyonce, should just like accept being cheated on, and Taylor,
I'm not saying she should
can't date 18 guys, and when she breaks up with them, and
you don't think Beyonce also cheated on Jay-Z? You think
Look,
she's?
I don't know.
She's
I don't actually
monogamous?
Care about this. I'm just
okay.
decided. I just decided I'm going to fight about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, fight about
just
it. Yeah, okay. I hear
it.
You again.
Taylor Swift.
I want
greater
everybody
sign
to do what's
Beyonce.
Right for them. I'm just saying it seems to me like Beyonce is telling an empowering story.
And
Taylor is telling a story where, like, everybody is terrible to her.
Meanwhile, she's breaking Spotify and bending
records.
Apple.
She's killing it. I know.
Bending Apple to her will. I don't know. If that's not inspiring to everybody at every level, right? Because we are all just cogs in the machine.
All of this just means teenagers have too much power, too much purchasing power. And you know, actually, here's the thing about Taylor Swift, and she's done this better than Bieber, but it's these ones, these kids that started so young, right? Like when you think about the Eras tour, you're like, Eras, you're like 33. How do you have Eras? And then you realize like she released her first like hit album at 17. And like she does have, you know, some time under her belt. And that means that she spans.
She started her career at 13. I mean, she was signed to a development deal at 13.
Yeah. So like I've Taylor Swift does feel as young as she is. She's been around long enough that there's a generation of teens right now and tweens who can love her. And like we in our 40s still like she was still a soundtrack for us in our 20s.
This is one of the things that I found so wonderful about the Eras movie concert is that it is a like a mass culture event. Like she had crossed
it's
over
a mass
and
white
she
culture event.
You know, there you get like three. Our colleague A.B. Stoddard went with three generations of women from her family to go see that. That's great.
Her first album came out in 2006. Yeah, so I'm 26 when that happens.
Yeah. It's mass culture. It's like when Barbie and Oppenheimer, dominated the box office for a month.
There were just it was all parts of American culture were in that theater with you in New Jersey. There were Italians, you know, there were
Italian
Americans
and Irish.
There were Irish Americans.
Yeah, they were both there.
There were Scots. There were Scots Irish Americans.
Probably
in that movie
not.
Theater.
Probably not. There were probably some Polish Americans. A handful of Polish Americans.
Just cut across all of American culture.
We Everyone have very, very few mass culture events anymore, right? We're down to basically like the Super Bowl. That's it, right? And it's nice whenever we
Sarah
have,
doesn't even watch that.
It's nice when we have something
the first
that
half,
like half the
bed.
Country watches and is into. I like that. I like feeling like we have a monoculture for a minute every once in a while. We don't need to live in a monoculture, but it's nice to have monocultural moments.
I just want to say that I don't think we should have to pick between Beyonce and Taylor. I think they are they're both icons.
One of them is better than the other, clearly.
In both cases, I know enough of their music, which means they've permeated the whole... I love them both.
I love this. This is a perfect ending to the Next Level podcast. A strong Beyonce, a strong Taylor, and somebody that wants to unite us all together. That's the spirit of the show, really.
Yeah, they
encapsulated
may have, they
into
have,
our divas.
They may have together kept us out of a recession.
Yeah.
I am annoyed at I wore a Beyonce shirt one of the days they were filming the circus, and that was the day they cut.
Oh,
I was just like, you sorry. Fucking assholes. I was like, I was representing Team Bay on Showtime to the But no. Anyway, so I had to do it right here on YouTube on the Next Level podcast.
Good show. Long show.
Very long.
Go ahead and subscribe. Talk to us in the comments. Whatever. Do all the things. We'll see you on Sunday.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.